Hello everyone and welcome back to Donkey's Garage for episode 29 of season 2, Racing in Mexico. We are nearing the end, it's coming swiftly. Mexico, then Brazil, then Las Vegas, and then Abu Dhabi. Mexico followed just the circuit of the Americas last week, and next week we'll have Brazil. Three races stuck together. Weekend after weekend. Very difficult for the teams and very exhausting for the drivers also. Mexico is quite a unique weekend for the teams. Why is this? Well, even if it doesn't seem like, you're actually running the same aero package as you would in Monaco. And one may wonder, how is that possible if it's nowhere near as twisty as Monaco is? Well, the fact is that the city of Mexico, where the track is located, it's at a very high altitude. And this means that the air gets thinner the higher you are. And it's so high that the actual density of the air requires the cars to drive the specs as if they were running in a very twisty track as Monaco is. So, in spite of the long straights and relatively fast track overall, you're actually running with a lot of downforce. Some teams have shown to be far more competitive in high downforce tracks than others. But Mexico brought quite a surprise overall. To begin with, let's start with qualifying, with Leclerc and Sainz getting pole and second place, respectively. This was quite unexpected. During the free practice, both drivers did not show this potential. They were relatively good, but nowhere near lap times to secure pole position and second place. Verstappen came from a weekend where they had struggled with the brakes, and again, because of the density of the air at high altitude, the situation for cooling the brakes did not seem to improve much. It required the teams really to bring a new set of settings in order to solve this issue. But the Red Bull team managed to solve this issue over the weekend, and they were able to provide Verstappen with a competitive car. Ricciardo qualified fourth, being the big surprise of Saturday. How did he do it? Well, no real answer for that. It seemed that the AlphaTauri was really comfortable around the corners of the Mexican track. Very good result for the Ricciardo, and it surely helped him really build the confidence for the rest of the season, and most certainly for the rest of next year. Perez himself qualified fifth. Not where he would like to be, especially in front of his home crowd, but he was most certainly aiming for a good result on Sunday. Hamilton qualified sixth, which again seemed to be quite not enough for the English driver. He felt that on Saturday, especially on Friday, the car was not as competitive as it had felt at the circuit of the Americas. It felt that the W14 had made a step backwards. So not really happy, but during Q3 it seemed that the car was feeling better and better, and most certainly on Sunday it did. The McLarens, well, they didn't really have the weekend they would expect, at least on Saturday. They were coming from a very strong weekend at the circuit of the Americas, but Piastri only qualified 7th, with his teammate Norris having been relegated to the back. A very costly mistake for Norris during qualifying resulted in him qualifying 19. He went over a curb, and as a result of going over that curb a bit too aggressively, he snapped the floor of the car and sustained significant damage. Russell qualified 8th, followed by Bottas and Zhou. A very good result for both Alfa Romeos. Very good result. Gasly then qualified 11th, which was quite insufficient for the French team, who had hoped a better result, especially given the good track record on this circuit. Hülkenberg qualified 12th, which is a step forward if you look at the grand scheme of things, given the poor performance of the Haas this year. But I am certain that Hülkenberg was hoping to be at least on the top 10. And Fernando Alonso qualified 13, which seems to be quite an awful result for the Spaniard. The car is just falling apart as the end of season comes. It's just very painful to watch. Finally, Albon qualified 14th, which was quite striking given that during the free practice, the Williams seemed to be on fire. They were running a rocket, and suddenly during qualifying, it kind of all disappeared. They lost all the grip they had, and they were struggling. And finally, only were able to qualify 14th with Albon. During the race, well, this is where things became complicated for certain drivers. The Mexican track actually offers a very long straight until turn one, which means that qualifying first is not necessarily the best result, because you are alone. Whereas the second and third driver will be able to just get the slipstream from the first driver. The first driver himself is just facing the abyss. He's got nothing to protect himself, no DRS, nothing whatsoever. So the run to the first corner, he's just an easy prey. And that is exactly what happened. Verstappen got off the line just sublimely. I mean, perfect. He was the fastest by far, and it seemed that he jumped ahead. Leclerc couldn't do much. He was just trying to get off the line. It seemed that he had a bit of spin on the back wheels. So just the shift to second gear, third gear, seemed to be a bit slow, or perhaps not sufficiently quick, not sufficiently efficient to really counter the prey that he had behind. Sainz himself had a decent start, but ultimately did not serve much of a purpose, because by turn one he had conceded 2 places. Ricciardo had a decent start, but was not able to secure that P4 for the rest of the race. He slowly fell behind where the car more reasonably belonged. The other very good start was by Perez, who on the run to the first turn was able actually to catch Leclerc on the outside. He got the perfect start of the track, getting Sainz, getting of course Ricciardo. He was very, very good. Both Verstappen and himself had a very good start of the line, but Perez made a crucial mistake. He went on the outside to Leclerc to the first corner, where he forgot that Verstappen was on the other side. Leclerc found himself sandwiched, and as a result, when Perez was going to turn right to the right on the first corner, Perez forgot that Leclerc had nowhere else to go, and they collided. They made contact, and Perez's car got airborne. There wasn't much to do after that. The car went up in the sky, and as it touched ground again, he sustained quite severe damage, both to the dashboards because of Leclerc's tire colliding against his car. Leclerc's car also sustained damage in the front wing and probably the suspension, but they were able to run the Ferrari for the rest of the race. Verstappen got the lead on that first turn and Perez had to retire. Very dramatic and very saddening, especially because it was his home race and he most certainly didn't want to finish it this way. He then explained that it was all or nothing. He only wanted one result, which was the win, and that's why he went so aggressive. Unfortunately, it didn't pay off. His premature retirement left him no choice but to see the rest of the race from the TV stand. Hamilton got a very good start, placing himself third and being just on the right fourth position, ready to go after Sainz. Sainz could not hold him for long, and after just 10 laps, he got past Sainz, placing himself third. Hamilton had a very, very good race, I have to say. Piastri had quite an average race. The McLaren for him was not working the way they were expecting. It seemed they had no pace, at least to fight for the top four positions. Piastri would eventually fall to eighth place during the race. The great result was Norris, who started P19 and had a bit of a weird strategy, but in the end it actually paid off, finishing P5. He was followed by Russell in P7 and then Russell in P6 and Ricciardo in P7, sorry. The first stint was actually quite difficult to follow. The first one to pit was Verstappen in lap 19 to fit hards, from mediums to hards, for the rest of the race, which made no real sense. Red Bull were trying to attempt a trickle-down situation where they would switch for hards on lap 19 and then force the rest of the grid to swap for tyres, especially they were aiming to force Leclerc to switch for hards just after the Red Bull. But Ferrari didn't. They stuck to their plan A, or at least so they called it. And that meant that Verstappen was alone after lap 19 on a set of hards. Leclerc, Sainz and Hamilton, they waited a bit longer to pit. But especially both Ferraris, they waited longer than anyone else in these top four. Hamilton pitted around lap 24, which meant that he still had to go quite a fair bit of laps until the end. Hamilton was not really convinced when they did it. He kept asking his engineer, "Are we sure this is the right result?" Leclerc and Sainz pitted later, which meant that they would have fresher tyres towards the end of the race. And Red Bull, they had been left in the cold. They had really no choice but to hope for a safety car. And that is exactly what happened in lap 31. Magnussen crashed. Quite a strange crash, because if you looked at it at first, you thought it was a tyre that had blown up, or maybe that he had gone over the curb too quickly in the S's. But no, it was a suspension failure. Causes for that failure, not really known. Probably just going over the curbs and a bit too hard. It also could be fatigue from the different components. Especially, it's a very hot, humid again atmosphere. The parts are not really well aired. They're not really well cooled. And at the end of the day, lap after lap, if you think about it, they may overheat and eventually crack and provoke this sort of suspension failure. Sainz had a bit of a difficult race, I would say, because he was stuck behind Leclerc for so long. Leclerc was at some damage in the front wing, but he seemed to be sufficiently competitive to stay at least in the top three. I would have let Sainz go, and maybe some people, and most definitely the Tifosi, will disagree with me. I met a dude on a guy on Friday who was a Tifosi, of course, and he was really, really, really pro Ferrari. And he was crazy about Leclerc, and he was saying how Leclerc is the best driver ever, and how he had been screwed up by Ferrari, and how he was much better than anyone else. And he didn't admit. I suggested that the Sainz had been sacrificed so many times over Leclerc, and that ultimately Sainz was the better driver this season, and even the first season, of course, where he had scored more points than Leclerc. This season he's ahead in the Drivers' Championship. And he refused categorically to really admit this, and he was saying how this was all wrong, how Leclerc was the much better driver, that Sainz was could not be compared, and so on. Without prejudice of that, I will say again that in Mexico they should have let Sainz by in order to let Sainz go chase or attempt to chase Verstappen during the first laps, where he seemed to be a bit more competitive, instead of leaving him behind ultimately just to set sufficient space to get free and cool air, and not to overheat the car and the tires, because I think that's essentially what happened. Sainz slowly fell back to the 2 second gap, to 2.5 second gap, I think to really make sure that he could get fresh and cool air. He got overtaken by Hamilton. He had no pace, I guess, to go fight with Hamilton, but again, I mean, I'm not sure they made the right call keeping Sainz behind Leclerc. After the safety car, I understand that, well, the cars were more or less distributed, and not much was going to change. Verstappen started after the red flag caused by Magnussen's crash, and this really reshuffled the whole deck. Leclerc now and Sainz, they had a situation where they had to go on a hard set of hard tires to the end, whereas Hamilton and Norris, they were on a set of mediums. Verstappen was on a set of hards. The Ferraris were hoping that the mediums would deteriorate after 10 laps, a thing that didn't actually happen, and Hamilton was able really to hammer down all the way to the end. Hamilton started fourth, right behind Sainz, got past behind Sainz, and eventually got past Leclerc to finish in second place. Both Ferraris kind of lost the competitive edge on that call, where, I mean, it could have been better or worse. Everyone was quite determined and certain that the medium tire was not going to last to the end. The other driver who took that gamble was Norris, and it did definitely work for him. He was able to storm all the way back from P8 after the restart, where he actually lost quite a few places on the first corner because he was a bit too overcautious. He didn't want to crash. And after that, he was able to get position after position all the way to P5. And I think if you had given him 5 more laps, he would have been able to catch Sainz. The other driver in a set of mediums was Russell, who, unlike the rest, was not able to really benefit from that set of mediums. Quite the contrary, he was stuck behind Sainz for the longest time, and just unable to really do anything. He would eventually got overtaken by Norris himself, you know, and in the end he finished P6. Piastri, which is the other McLaren, showed quite a different pace, whereas the McLaren seemed to have revived, especially towards the last 20 laps of the race, for the last 25 laps of the race. Piastri seemed to be just dull. The car was not working. You couldn't see Piastri in a very, very confident manner. I mean, Norris did some of the best overtakes I've seen in years. He overtook people in places where you could not imagine. He overtook Ricciardo. He overtook Russell in a way that was just unprecedented, and a level that is worth the name of the greatest drivers out there, of Senna, I would say, of Michael Schumacher, and of Alonso when they were at their peak. Norris was fantastic, most certain driver of the day. Piastri, he just was lacking a bit of confidence in that sense. Then it was followed in P9 by Albon, who had a great result overall. He started P14, finished P9 with a Williams that was working really, really well on really, really well on Friday. Had a average, insufficient, quite lagging Saturday, and on Sunday they kind of recover some of that pace, which is usually the other way around for the team. So good result for them. I think overall they should be quite happy with the result, and it allows them to keep understanding the car and really develop it wherever possible. Ocon and Gasly, the two Frenchmen, they run P10 and P11 at the end of the race. They had basically the same race, the two of them together, stuck one after the other. Gasly was flashing the lights at some points, saying he was faster. Ocon was for the longest time behind Hülkenberg, trying to overtake him. Very difficult to follow in this track because of the heat, and if you are behind a car, you're essentially gathering and getting all this heat from the car in front of you, and you lose grip on the front axle, you overheat your engine, you overheat everything, and it's not good. You saw a lot of drivers getting out of the slipstream on the main straight to get fresh air, especially Lewis, especially Russell, also Ocon, of course, Gasly. All these drivers that were following one another very closely, they were suffering immensely. Not good for the cars. And eventually Ocon was able to get past Hülkenberg, but it took him quite a fair bit of laps to do so. Gasly finished P11, followed by Tsunoda, who, compared to his teammate Piastri, only finished 12th. But I think it's a good result overall for the Italian team, for AlphaTauri. Overall, they had two drivers finishing in good places, finishing in a good position, and gathering a lot of information, getting out of this weekend in a very positive note, because they had a very competitive car, qualifying fourth and then finishing seventh, and still Tsunoda was able to bring the car in 12th position, which is, I think, a fair result for the team. Hülkenberg finished P13, which overall I think is quite a fair result given that they qualified 12th. They only lost a position during the race, which I think is a stepping stone for Haas, where they have to build weekend after weekend kind of good results to understand the car, to understand the new aero package, and to understand how everything works. Very sad, very, very, very discomforting, the accident that Magnussen had, because it kind of throws over the board, over the window, all the development, all the confidence that you have in the car. You lose it suddenly, and crash it is, you burn the car to almost ashes. I mean, they catch fire very easily, all the pieces are very hot. The brakes, of course, caught fire as soon as they were not being cooled. And, well, quite sad, because especially towards the end of the year, you're a bit short in budget, and this sort of crash is going to be very costly, and is going to probably be so costly that they won't be able to bring this new specification for the next track, which is only in a week. And to finish the top 14 with Zhou finishing more or less where the Alfa Romeo kind of belongs. It is sad because they qualified P10, but as it was very much predicted, they were not able to hold this P10 for the rest of the race, and they finished P14, which leaves, I imagine, a bit of a sour taste in the Italian team. Not much else to say. Quite sad to see Aston Martin. They have collapsed as a team. They had an awful Saturday. They had an awful Sunday. They qualified dead last, 19th and 20. They just didn't have the pace. They were running mostly on P18, P16 for most of the race. Neither Stroll or Alonso had any pace. Alonso allegedly had some damage from the beginning of the race, where the car got some debris, and as a result he had some damage. Eventually he would retire in lap 47. I think it was 47 laps too much. At some point, very much earlier in the race, they should have realized that they were not going anywhere, and they should at least try to spare as much as possible the engine and the other components. They should have retired much earlier, in my opinion. Overall, the Mexican GP left us with a sour taste because of Perez. A huge crash, quite unfortunate. Very sad to see these, especially in front of your home crowd. And also because of Magnussen crash, which thankfully he was unhurt, but it's never nice to see this sort of crash. Very quite aggressive, especially because you're in a zone where you're relatively fast, and it was quite a severe crash. For the rest of the race, I think the big hero of the weekend was Norris. He had an amazing race, started P19. Stormed all the way to P5 in an unprecedented race. I mean, he had just a sublime race, overtakes, daring overtakes, aggressive. I mean, you name it. Verstappen, as always, he was perfect. I mean, he was aggressive. He was decisive. He was all you can ask from him at the moment. No mistakes, no cracks whatsoever. Sour taste for the two Ferraris, because once again they started in first and second, and they were not able to hold to those positions. But it just seems that they're just not able to capitalize on those pole positions, at least on a regular basis, except for Singapore. Next week, Brazil, again a track which is located at high altitude, thin air. I think it's one of the tracks that is most enjoyable, at least as a driver. I look at it and I say, if I had one track to drive around, I would choose that one. It's like a massive go track for Formula One. It's just amazing. The corners are just insane. It's fun. It's quick. It's everything you want from a track. On the F1 game, I always like to play that one. I think most than any other track. Just, it's amazing. So looking forward to that. Hopefully a bit of a better weekend for the Astons, because I mean, this is painful coming from a car that was essentially running for P3 at the start of the year, and now they are struggling to finish P15, P16. They're more or less in the P19s, P20s, so fighting for last position. Very, very saddening. With that said, thank you very much for listening. As always, share, subscribe, and more next week. Thank you very much.